ॐ लक्ष्मीनन्दस्य जन जन सुलकया चक्षुस्मृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले अयं कृतामयं जगति सपदन्तिकम् वंशिकपतिभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च अतिथिनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीप्रभुपाद की गौर भक्तिविनय की जय प्रहलाद महाराज हैज बिगन प्रीचिंग टू हिज स्कूल फ्रेंड्स एंड He's first admonished them to please, please use their lives properly. Komaram acharit pragyo dhaman bhagavataniya. What is properly? Dhamma bhagavata. Because by bhagavad dhamma, or Krishna consciousness, or acting to please Krishna, as he's already explained, to his father with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Arjunam, Bandhanam, Dasam, Sakyam, Atmavedanam. By acting for Krishna's pleasure with devotion, the result is that this life, which is very rare, human life, is very rare. There are so many thousands, millions of species of life. And human life is, or the human form, allows the consciousness of the soul to expand to the degree that he has the ability to awaken his natural relationship with Krishna. So Prahlad spoke so strongly to his school friends, reminding them of this and telling them to use their lives properly. Because the tendency is to waste one's life. How? First thing, 50% of the life, 30 to 50% of the life, sleeping. Out of the 24 hours of the day, some people, rare person sleeps 6 hours. Most people sleep 8 to 12 hours a day. That means half, a third to half the life, just cut off like that. Out of that 100 years at most that's allotted, 50%, 30%, cut off, cut out like that. And then what does one do? Can one use one's life properly for the remaining years when one is awake? First 10 years, cut out. Just being a child, not being mature, not having a conceptual ability. Then next 10 years, the body is full of that youthful energy, sporting, playing, full of desires. And then in old age, the last 20 years, either 60 to 80, generally say 60 to 80, then one becomes so invalid and one's consciousness, one's mind is on one bodily infirmity after another. Cough, cold, Prabhupada said. First you get a cough, the cough goes away, it turns into a cold. Then the cold turns into a cough, and the cough into a cold. And this hurts, and that hurts. Absorbing one's full attention, practically speaking. So 20 years, sporty playing, youthfulness. 20 years at the end. Old age, disease, infirmity. So that leaves, if one's going to live, Prahlad gives these septavars, 100, but nowadays people generally don't live to 100. If one's 80, it's pretty good. So 40 years at the beginning and at the end cut out, that leaves the remaining 40 years, of which a third to a half is spent sleeping. And that 40 years, what is that done? What is done with that? When will the human life be used properly to gain that which it can gain? Just like if one has money There's books written that the thing that's most required to make money is what's called OPM. You know what that stands for?
Other people's money.
Yes. You have to use other people's money to make money for you. Somehow you borrow it or whatever. So what happens if one has money but doesn't use it? Just hoards it, and then he closes the blinds and curtains and locks the doors, and every once in a while digs it up and looks at it and then counts it and counts it again, looks at it a little more, then ties it up again and locks it up again and buries it again. But he doesn't use it and lives as if he was something other than a wealthy person, lives as if he was impoverished. So what would such a person be called? Miser, yes. He doesn't use what he has. So an intelligent person, he uses what he doesn't have even. That's the other people's money. But the miser is one who doesn't use what he does have. So someone who in human life doesn't use it, his human life properly, is called creepin' or miser. Acting no better than an animal, although a human. Acting no better than a poor man, although he's wealthy. Not using it, so he's a miser. So Prahlad is trying to get his friends to not think that human life is just meant to act in miserly, animalistic, material pleasures. So he's counting how people use their lives. So now he's going to deal with the 40 years in the middle, the householder years. Text 9. When a person too attached to household life due to being unable to control his senses, what person? Because again, he said that the purpose of human life is to become free, attain that which really can be attained, become free from true bondage of material body, of the modes of material nature, of death. So what person too attached to householder life due to being unable to control his senses can liberate himself? Can't use his life properly. An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and other relatives. I'll read the verses and then we'll read the purports. Money is so dear that one conceives of money as being sweeter than honey. Therefore, who can give up the desire to accumulate money, especially in household life? Thieves, professional servants, soldiers, and merchants try to acquire money even by risking their very dear lives. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the Absolute Truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. If a person too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money, although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the law of the government and by the law of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. Oh, my friends, sons of demons, in this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider this is mine and that is for others. Thus, they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life, just like uneducated cats and dogs. They are unable to take the spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is woman. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the origin of all the demigods. Because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayan is liberation from the bondage of material existence. So we'll stop here. Very strong condemnation of materialistic householder life. Strong condemnation. It eats up imperceptibly the 40 years that one has. And half of that, too, is sleeping. So it eats up the remainder of one's time imperceptibly. Why imperceptibly? Because one's working so hard, one doesn't notice that one's getting older. Until one is old, one's working so hard, one gets a 40-year mortgage on one's house, and then by the time he owns the house, he's old, and he can't enjoy it. And it's soon time to die, to get kicked out of the house. Imperceptibly, one works and works, and then suddenly, before one knows, it's over. And the curtain is falling. So Prahlad is making this point so strongly because he's trying to get his school friends to escape the traps of materialism. These unavoidable, practically, traps. These enamorments that steal away one's life. So therefore he begins saying, what person too attached to household or life due to being unable to control his senses can liberate himself? So on one hand there is liberation, freedom from all misery. And then there is, on the other hand, the attachments in household life that will bind one inextricably to birth, death, old age, and disease just to enjoy the senses for a short time. So we'll read the verses in Prabhupada's purports. An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and other relatives. Towards the end of Prabhupada's purport, or halfway really, Prahlad Maharaj explained to his father that to be freed from all material anxieties, one should go to the forest. Hidvapmapattam grihamandakupam. One should give up his household, which is a place for going further and further down into the darkest regions of material existence. The first advice, therefore, is that one must give up household life. Grihamandakupam, the dark well of materialistic life. However, if one prefers to remain in the dark well of household life because of uncontrolled senses, he becomes increasingly entangled by ropes of affection for his wife, children, servants, house, money, and so on. Such a person cannot attain liberation from material bondage. Therefore, why doesn't he attain liberation? It's because he doesn't want liberation. The chains and the bars of his prison are such that he doesn't want to escape. He binds himself tighter with those chains out of his desire, out of the affection, out of thinking it's noble and most wonderful to have given one's life in the service of family. And even nowadays, the degradation is even more. If someone is working so hard for his family, that's even very rare. Or rather, people try to enjoy and then leave. But not with detachment or knowledge. That undutiful action causes them to become further entangled in ignorance. Worse. So in any case, people who are attached in passion or detached but in ignorance, which is worse, they cannot attain liberation from material bondage. Therefore, children should be taught from the very beginning of life to be first class brahmacharis. Then it will be possible for them to give up household life in the future. If the core of one's life, if there's detachment there, then even if one enters household life, one won't become as fully attached, and one will be able to become detached later on. Therefore, to return home back to Godhead, one must be completely free from material attachment. Therefore, bhakti yoga means vairagya vidya, the art that can help one develop a taste for material enjoyment, a distaste for material enjoyment. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita jnanayatyasru vairagyam jnanam chayarahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. If one engages in devotional service from the beginning of life, he easily attains vairagya vidya, or asakti, detachment, and becomes jitendriya, the controller of his senses. One who perfectly engages in devotional service is therefore called a goswami, or swami, master of the senses. Unless one is master of the senses, he should not accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. A strong inclination for sense enjoyment is the cause of the material body. Without full knowledge, one cannot be unattached to material enjoyment. But as soon as one is not in that position, one is not fit to return home back to Godhead. Why isn't one fit again? Because one's attached to things of the material world. One's attached to the shackles of the material world, so therefore one doesn't really wish to go back to Godhead. One wishes to stay and retain his affection and attachments and enjoyments. Quite fair. So unless one is detached from matter, one cannot go back to Godhead. And the most important element of the process in Krishna consciousness is becoming attached to Krishna. Param dvistvana bhaktite. So with devotional service, bhakti yoga prayojita jnaniyat yasyu. Asu means quickly. So very quickly comes jnana and vairagya detachment. So what Krishna consciousness is, isn't what it is isn't being artificially detached from the material world, but being neutral in relationship to the material world and using everything in Krishna's service with no sense of attachment. That's vairagya vidya, that everything is Krishna's and using everything in Krishna's service. This is actually the perfection of detachment and renunciation. And unless we develop that mood, we will not be able to go to the spiritual world. And it means, again, removing the false ego, the sense of I am the enjoyer from our consciousness, that I am the center and the enjoyer. So when one is young or as early as possible, if one can get that training that I am not the center, that I don't have to do everything my mind says, that my mind isn't the center, that false sense of I being the center, that it's not there, that rather if one gets the training from the early age of one's life, that there's another center, that there's Krishna practices putting Krishna in the center, neglecting the mind and the senses in the early ages of one's life, then, even if one enters householder life, one won't become fully entangled, and then one will be able to become renounced. Prahlad continues. And what is the central focus of the activities of attached householders? It is money. Why? Because money means power. The power to buy, the power to control, the power to enjoy. Money is so dear, Prahlad says, that one conceives as money as being sweeter than honey. Therefore, who can give up the desire to accumulate money, especially in household life? Thieves, professional servants, soldiers, and merchants try to acquire money even by risking their very dear lives. So we, naturally, our life is the most dear thing to us. But we use that life for what purpose? To gain money. Prabhupada's purport. How money can be dearer than life is indicated in this verse. Thieves may enter the house of a rich man to steal money at the risk of their lives. Because of trespassing, they may be killed by guns or attacked by watchdogs, but still they try to commit burglary. Why do they risk their lives? Only to get some money. Similarly, a professional soldier is recruited into the army, and he accepts such service with the risk of dying on the battlefield only for the sake of money. In the same way, merchants go from one country to another on boats at the risk of their lives, or they dive into the water of the sea to collect pearls and valuable gems. Thus it is practically proved, and everyone will admit, that money is sweeter than honey. One may risk everything to acquire money, and this is especially true of rich men who are too attached to householder life. So that's ironic, isn't it? Because one would think that the poor people would be the most attached to money, because they don't have it, so they want it. But the rich people have it, are the most attached. They don't want to lose it. Formerly, of course, the members of the higher castes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, everyone but the Sudras, were trained in the Gurukula to adhere to a life of renunciation and sense control by practicing brahmacharya and mystic yoga. Then they were allowed to enter household life. There have been consequently many instances in which great kings and emperors have given up household life. The most famous is Lord Buddha, Gautama Buddha, because his name is from the Gautam dynasty. And he's Buddha, because Buddha means one who has buddhi, or sagaciousness, wisdom, intelligence. So he was a prince and he gave up everything, became fully renounced. There are so many examples of this. Bharat Maharaj, Rishabhdev, and the fourth canto is full of examples of this. The Prachetas, even Prachini Barishat, Juva Maharaj. One after another, the kings in early days, they knew that they were entangled, because being a king means being surrounded by opulence and being able to control it. So then at the end of the life, to purify themselves from material attachments, they renounced everything. And why should one purify oneself from material attachments? Because if one is not attached to something, just like somebody else's money, if their house gets robbed and their stereo set gets robbed, then oh, I'm very sorry, but one doesn't feel the pain. But if it's one's own, where one has attachment, then it's so painful. So at the end of our life, if we have material attachments, if we've maintained this, and these things are stolen away from us, ripped from us by death, how painful will it be? And what will our consciousness be on at the time of death? It will be on all these things that we're attached to and that are being taken from us. So not, and in the midst of the physical pain and the mental pain, we won't be able to think of Krishna and take advantage of the Sadatad Bhava Bharata Yam Yam Vapi Smanam Bhavam Tejan Yante Kalevram Tam Tami Bhakti Kanteya Sadatad Bhava Bharata. So the kings in previous times were trained as brahmacharis at the beginning of their life. Even Krishna, when he practiced brahmacharya and went to school away from home and was doing menial servant, God did this. Prahlad Maharaj's vice is therefore very appropriate. Komaramachare pragyo daman bhagavatani ha dolavam manusha janma tarap adruvam artadam. One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Human society should take advantage of this instruction. Prabhupada concludes his purport. 11-13. This is practical. Why? It's not that there's something, a prejudice against household life, but it's practical, because when one's a householder, one gets entangled. One has to have affection for the family. One has to earn his livelihood. One has to have a house. One has to have some land. One needs possessions. And when one has these things, especially when one has worked so hard to get them, one naturally develops attachment. Even though it's just so natural to fall into these things. This is a tendency, and therefore Prahlad's warning is very strong. And the only way to avoid it is the attachments, even though one can be in these circumstances, is to be more neutral towards the material and attached to Krishna. And that's the only way to be neutral, is to develop one's attachment to Krishna. And it is also recommended, and this is why Kapila Muni speaks so much in his Sankhya instructions about deity worship. Worship, meditating upon the deity, upon the Lord in the heart, but there is also deity worship. Why? Because the householder should keep the deity, deity means God, in the house, and think himself and his family members the servants of the deity, and that everything belongs to the deity. It's not me who's the master of this house. It's he is the master, with a capital H. He, the Lord, is the master, and we are all his servants. So here is what Prahlad says. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, thinking about them, in every big businessman's office there's always the picture of the family, beloved wife and children, because this is their inspiration for life, for working. How can they give up their association? Specifically, a wife is very kind and sympathetic and always pleases a husband in a solitary place. So the intimacy is greatest. Who could give up the association of such dear and affectionate wife? The small children talking in broken languages, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How can he give up their association? The parents, father's attachment to the daughter, and all the accumulated things that one has gotten with his hard-earned money, so difficult to be detached. Therefore, Prahlad told his father to go to the forest. Give it up, go to the forest, and there, harim ashrita, vanam gato yad, harim ashrita. Prabhupada's purport. So Prahlad is saying, how can one escape from this trap? In household affairs, the first attraction is the beautiful and pleasing wife, who increases household attraction more and more. But to give up these things, like in Kali Yuga, generally, or often rather, the marriages are so fraught with fighting and struggle that people give them up, but without knowledge. So it's not true detachment, but it's not based on knowledge, it's based on ignorance, and then they entangle themselves more and more in sinful activities, and more in material attachments and frustrations. One enjoys his wife with two prominent sense organs, namely the tongue and the genitals. The wife speaks very sweetly. This is certainly an attraction. Then she prepares very palatable foods to satisfy the tongue, and when the tongue is satisfied, one gains strength in the other sense enjoyments, especially the sense organs, especially the genitals. Thus the wife gives pleasure in sexual intercourse. Household life means sex life. Yan matunadi grihamedi sukkamitucham. This is encouraged by the tongue. Then there are the children. A baby gives pleasure by speaking sweet words in broken language. And when the sons and daughters are grown up, one becomes involved in their education and marriage. Then there are one's own father and mother to be taken care of. And one also becomes concerned with the social atmosphere and with pleasing his brothers and sisters. A man becomes increasingly entangled in household affairs, so much so that leaving them becomes almost impossible. Thus the household becomes griham andakupam, a dark well into which the man has fallen. For such a man to get out is extremely difficult unless he is helped by a strong person, the spiritual master who helps the fallen soul with the strong ropes of spiritual instructions. A fallen person should take advantage of this rope. The rope, again, is a strong person, with his strong instructions that one holds on to, like one holds on to the rope. even though one may not have the strength to get out oneself, but by holding on to the rope one can get out. So on one side, it is seen as escaping. Escaping birth, death, old age, disease. But on the other side, it is going towards Krishna and opening our relationship with Him, which is everyone's natural consciousness, natural inheritance of. So a fallen person should take advantage of this rope, and then the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, will take him out of the dark well. 14. One who is too attached, Prahlad says, cannot understand that he's wasting his valuable life in the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very clearly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. So there's an irony in that. Losing his life, losing his time, day by day, month by month, year by year. Whimsically, not caring. Looking for ways to waste time. And on the other side, being so careful about not wasting his money, investing. And when one loses one's time, as Chanakya Pandit said in his Prabhupada was fond of quoting, one cannot gain that back even with so much gold. A minute can't be regained, a minute lost. So one should be very careful. So that's what Prahlad, all this preaching is about, is using one's life properly. 15. If a person is too attached to the duties of family maintenance, is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. At the very depth of his consciousness, this is what is going on, how to get more and more and more. If one becomes trained in Krishna consciousness, then even if one enters household life, this will not be at his depth, at the depth of his consciousness. There'll be Krishna there. He will not fall deeply, fully, completely as a materialist. And he can rise completely above it if he is truly detached and attached to Krishna. Prabhupada told me that so many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were householders. Advaita Prabhu was a householder. So many. Nityananda Prabhu. So it's the attachment, but the tendency towards these attachments and entanglement is very strong and shouldn't be underestimated, thinking, well, I'm a devotee, this is talking about me. But rather we should be very wary. These tendencies are very strong. In the core of his heart, he's immersed in how to accumulate money. Although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the law of the government and by the laws of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. Purport. Especially in these days, people do not believe in a next life or in the court of Yamaraj and the various punishments of the sinful. But at least one should know that one who cheats others to acquire money will be punished by the laws of the government. Nonetheless, people do not care about the laws of this life or those governing the next. Despite whatever knowledge one has, one cannot stop his sinful activities if he is unable to control his senses. 16. All my friends, sons of demons. In this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider this is mine and that is for others. Thus they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life. Just like uneducated cats and dogs. They are unable to take to spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. From Prabhupada's purport. When Sanatana Goswami submitted to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, Kayami, Kenya Maya Jari Tapatraya. In other words, he wanted to know his constitutional position and why he was suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence. This is the process of education. If one does not ask, who am I? What is the goal of my life? But instead follows the same animal propensities as cats and dogs, what is the use of his education? As discussed in the previous verse, a living being is entrapped by his fruit of activities, exactly like a silkworm trapped in its own cocoon. We spin our own trap, our own jail, which causes our death. Foolish persons are generally encaged by their fruit of actions, their karma, because of a strong desire to enjoy this material world. Such attracted persons become involved in society, community, and nation and waste their time, not having profited from having obtained human forms. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, great leaders, politicians, philosophers, and scientists are all engaged in foolish activities, thinking this is mine and this is yours. The scientists invent nuclear weapons and collaborate with the big leaders to protect the interests of their own nation or society. In this verse, however, it is clearly stated that despite their so-called advanced knowledge, they actually have the same mentality as cats and dogs. Sometimes when Prabhupada mentions things like that, he adds hogs too. And camels and donkeys. As cats, dogs, and other animals, not knowing their true interest in life, become increasingly involved in ignorance, the so-called educated person who does not know his own self-interest or the true goal of life becomes increasingly involved in materialism. So he's building walls upon his cage, his cocoon. That means his death. 17 and 18. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification and their target is woman. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Because what is it, the essence? That I am the enjoyer, that I am the controller, Ishwaraham Mahambhogi, Siddham Balavan Sukhi. Demonic mentality, because I'm at the center. My selfish, petty desires are at the center, as if they are at the center of the world, of the universe. But that's how people look, and it's demonic. That's how we view. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, the origin of all the demigods, because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayan is liberation from the bondage of material existence. So one traps one, one mentality where one takes shelter of these materialistic things, of based on the materialistic mentality, hoping to enjoy, that encases one, encages one, entraps one further. And on the other hand, if one heeds the advice of Prahlad Maharaj and takes shelter of Lord Narayan, the ultimate goal for the devotees is liberation, freedom, not encagement. Freedom, liberation from the bondage of material existence. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse also he stresses the same point. In the history of human society, no one at any time or place has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment for his family. Even in those who are apparently very educated, the same family attachment is there. They cannot give up the association of their families, even in old age or invalidity, for they are attached to sense enjoyment. As we have several times discussed, yan matunadigrihamedi sukham hitucham, so-called householders are simply attracted by sexual enjoyment. Thus they keep themselves shackled in family life, and furthermore, they want their children to be shackled in the same way, playing the parts of playboys in the hands of women. They glide down to the darkest region of material existence. Adantigobhya vishatatamisram puna ponas tarvita charvananam. That's what Prahlad had told his father. Matirna Krishna Paraktaksvatovamityovipadyatikrihavatanam Adantigobhya. One possesses uncontrolled senses. Not only does one not develop an attraction to Krishna, a mind that is attracted to Krishna, but vishata tamizram, one glides down towards hell. Because they are unable to control their senses, they continue a life of chewing the chewed, trying to enjoy that which has no sweetness in it, and therefore descend to the darkest material regions. One should give up the association of such demons and adhere to the association of devotees. Thus one will be able to be liberated from material bondage. Very strong, direct, non-materialistic preaching. Not wishy-washy, not gray. Very clear, black and white. Materialism, spiritualism, and Prahlad is advising that we take to spiritualism, not to sense enjoyment, not to the cute mixture, but actually use life properly. Thank you. Any questions or comments? When we're in a situation we don't like, yes.
Simply Krishna's mercy. It's become easier to maybe perceive Krishna's mercy, understand.
You mean understand why he's done it?
Yeah.
To perceive everything as Krishna's mercy is a very advanced stage. So when we become angry and it doesn't at all feel like Krishna's mercy and we have to try to talk ourselves into it, we can understand we're not advanced. Because Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita many times, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, and he is never lost to me. And also, tasyaham sulabha partha. But I'm very easy to obtain, one who is always seeing me in everything. So when we find ourselves not at all acting like we are advanced, even though we often like to think of ourselves as advanced, then we can, it should, some humility should arise within us. And that humility can allow us to take shelter of Krishna. Trinada Pisuni, Trinatarura Pisuni. Now, humility allows one, if one thinks oneself very powerful and very advanced, one doesn't need help. One can do everything by oneself, but when one realizes that how wretched one is and how whimsical and flighty one's mind is, then one really needs help, and then one can call out for help continuously. If one thinks one needs help at every second, one will call out at every second. So if we don't see that deeply to understand how much we need help, then Krishna sometimes lowers the boom and drops it on our head, a ton of rocks. Then we quickly understand this is out of control. And then we call to Krishna to help us. So then we can see, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be calling out to Krishna. So then that becomes his mercy. But then, sometimes, even though something heavy may happen, we find our consciousness is too dull to call out to Krishna. And then we see we really don't want to. So we should examine our consciousness and see what kind of devotees we are. And then we have to decide, well, which way do I want to go? Do I want to enlarge my non-dependence on Krishna? Or enlarge my dependence on Krishna? So, if we see we're going the wrong way, then we have to depend on Krishna for that too, to go the right way. So that will make us Krishna conscious. But there's no simple formula other than always chant Hare Krishna, stay in the association of devotees, those really basic ones, follow the principles, chant attentive rounds, hear. That's another one we have to hear continuously. We don't hear so quickly. Reality drips from our mind. We don't like to hear of this material reality. We don't like it. It's not tasty, but it's healthy for us. Like bitter medicine wakes up the liver. So we should hear in the association of devotees. So the question. So another way to look at the question is, well, how do you become more advanced than you are? And the answer is certainly not by going the opposite direction, by taking to material life. You have to stick with it. It's a long road. It's a marathon race, not a sprint. And one really wants to be there at the end, to finish the race. Yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to finish the race. The race is the life. Did you want to ask anything else on that or say anything? There's no easy answer. Chant sincerely. But how do you chant sincerely when you don't feel very sincere? What do you do? How do you get more sincere? And in Melbourne, Prabhupada was asked that question, how do you become sincere? And he said, how do you become a drunkard? If you associate with drunkards, you'll become a the drunkard. And he said, if you want to be sincere, you associate with them, pointing to the devotees. So how much pressure does that put on the ones he's pointing towards? But everyone needs senior association, older, more sincere, more experienced, more advanced association. That's really, it's almost the key. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sarusange. But the very root of Krishna bhakti is association. And that continues up to purna mukya anga, to Krishna prema. It doesn't like, it's not like that's the beginning, sarusanga, adhoshrada sarusanga. It's not like it's right at the beginning and then one advances past that stage into something else. No, that's the necessity from the beginning to the very end.
You mentioned the way materialists become absorbed in family life, and they think that this is good, or that this is the right thing to do, and it's that it's worth something to meditate on the family all the time and get absorbed in that. But you also mentioned that they think it's noble, and that for me that kind of gives another connotation. I've seen it in people, that this, the idea that it's noble. How do you break that illusion?
Why is it not? What is noble about it, and what is not noble about it? There is something noble about it. It's more noble than abandoning it. It's more noble. See, in Kali Yuga, people will abandon household life. And externally, you could say, oh, like sadhus. But it's not like sadhus, it's more like monkeys. Makita vairagya, monkey renunciation, because the monkey, he'll jump from one to another rather than sticking to one partner, mate. So it's more noble taking care of the family, is so much more noble than being a monkey. But if one's whole consciousness is absorbed in that, and one doesn't see that he is going to die, and one is thinking his whole life and doing all kinds of sinful activities just to maintain the family, then what has happened in his human life that is different than an animal? He's engaged in just materialism. So what has been the eternal benefit which the human life is capable of awarding? There's been no eternal benefit on that level. So that is a great loss. And therefore, from that point of view, from the spiritual point of view, his activities have been foolish, miserly, not at all noble. But one has to have the spiritual point of view to do that, to see it in that way. Because it's easy to criticize. But to actually maintain a spiritual point of view throughout one's life is not so easy. But this is Prahlad talking, and Prabhupada talking. So we have to reverentially accept what they say, because they're on that platform. It's true. They're talking from that platform, that higher platform. So they have a right to speak on that way, in that way. So it is not noble. But when one talks in the Western contemporary context, we have to add in the nobility of it, from because so much less noble things are going on. But from this platform, not from the society platform, it's noble. But from the spiritual platform, it's dog-like, cat-like, camel-like, hog-like, donkey-like.
I just keep getting reminded how much more, how far advanced
knowledge given in the Bhagavatam is to what people are used to.
Yeah. Renunciation must be coupled by knowledge. That came up in the sixth canto. That was Daksha's criticism of what Narada Muni had done in preaching to his sons. He said, you've preached to them and got them to renounce, but they don't have mature knowledge. So it's going to cause problems. But Narada Muni had given them a very deep realization. So they did actually have it. Yes, it's very different from contemporary thought and so-called knowledge.
Just thinking on this regard, there's something noble in the dedication to family life, and as much as something selfless in the dedication of a mother to the children and the dedication of the father to support the family.
Yes.
But then deeper than that, it's not completely.
Yeah.
There's something selfish in it as well.
There's something very selfish in it as well. Because it's my family. And when someone expects, so in other words, the love that the soul is capable of, it's like a light, a lamp. It's a little bit more expanded than I only care about myself. But what about all the other families in the world? So if one expands one's love to care for all of humanity, it's more expanded than just for one's family, and still more expanded than just for oneself. But how about all the other suffering creatures? You know, the dolphins. And not only that, but every living entity. So when one if one does that, expands one's love to every living entity, it's still not the full expansion of the soul's love, capacity for love. But when one loves Krishna, and then automatically one will love all other living entities, that's actually the full consciousness of the soul. Full means most satisfying too. So it's a matter of perspective. So looking at from the perspective of one level above makes everything below it look minimal and miserly. So because Prahlad and Prabhupada are speaking from the topmost position, they have the legitimate right to explain how those things on the less expanded platform are dog-like and camel-like and miserly. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Shri Prabhupada.